This week on Two Noobs, free speech for me, but not for thee, seems to be the mood, according to a new poll on the First Amendment. Matt to give us another constitutional lesson. Then, if you're going to go out on disability, maybe refrain from partaking in the local Christmas tree throwing competition. Just a thought. Then, the Phillies commit sacrilege by ditching Dollar Dog Night. Won't someone think of the children? And finally, we conclude with the Arnold Film Oscars, which one-liner takes home the coveted trophy. Stick around and find out. Start the music, neighbor. With that, we welcome you to episode 179 of Two Noobs Talking. We're not like the Willy's Chocolate Experience in Glasgow. No, no window dressing here.
Absolutely not.
You know, walking in, it's going to be a shit show from the beginning. So there's no false advertising whatsoever.
Hey, got to tell the truth sometimes, right? I mean, that's the hardest part, but.
Absolutely. I mean, John's stripping down to a bare wall back there. I don't know. Used to have a nice backdrop, and now it's just like fucking. Yeah. You guys are getting straight plaster.
206. I might be naked. You know. Now. Never know.
I think
we
I'm
have until September
week.
To get rid of that. Anyway. Yes.
Maybe Amazon will actually bring the shelves that they're supposed to. and then, just saying, Jeff Bezos.
Well, he's too busy building the spaceship with them. So
that's true. Know,
he apologized. They're out of stock.
He doesn't build spaceships. He builds dick rockets.
No. I build the dick rockets. He builds the wannabe dick rockets. All right. Let's, now that we've got the nonsense out of the way, there's going to be plenty more of it.
There's way more.
Yes?
Other way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I think.
Oh, yeah, look, yeah. Okay, you're right, yeah. I was looking at my mirror image on the screen. My
yeah, see? Yeah,
okay, all right, over here.
That makes sense.
That is one John Kimball Tracy.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
And we're in a triangle for me, so it makes no sense. You're pointing at nothing.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'm at the bottom here. So over here, that is, just, my apologies, it's Mr. Freeze, Matt Craig.
Oh, God.
Sorry, it's the only character I could find with an M.
Oh. There you go.
And I in the middle, I'm Schwarzenegger Steve Murray. That's
Ice baby.
Of the three of us, how many have actually seen that film?
I don't think one. I did. Yeah, I don't think I did.
I confess, I for went shame. To the movie theater
really?
Oh,
to see that god-awful movie.
Ooh.
And within 15 minutes, I turned to my aunt, who I went to the movie with, and I said, I was very close of like getting up and leaving.
But oh my goodness.
I want those 2 hours back, gentlemen. You have no idea. You have no idea. To feel that you're trapped and that you can't get out. I mean, I guess I could have just gotten up and left, but my aunt was there. So what was I supposed to do? Like, we both paid for it. And they go like, okay, well, maybe it might be a decent movie. It was not a good movie. It was just not good.
My condolences.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I learned my lesson.
Okay, good. Good. I only go to the movies when I know I'm in for a banger. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, which means I only go to the movie theater like twice a year.
I learned my lesson. And that lesson is never try.
I can't remember the last movie I was at.
Well, that's just because you pirate everything on your TV, so you don't need to.
Yes, but I like to go to the midnight showing of The Sith was probably, maybe I was at another movie after that, but I'm not sure if I was. Like,
wow, that's going back to 05. Yeah. Holy cow.
When I was 13, I saw Free Willy. That wasn't a banger, but I definitely was at the movie theater for that one. Big whale. Like, that's intense.
Yeah, leaping over the kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Sometimes you need to see that thing on a big screen. You can't watch it on your phone.
Something like that, right? Oh my gosh.
Free Willy.
Yeah.
Well, we're not freeing any Willies here.
No.
We will.
Not until episode 206.
Oh my.
Totally off the rails already, guys.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
All right, well, let's try to move this along. We'll get to the W Energy fun fact here. Visit W Energy Drinks at W.GG, or, as I learned last week, download the app. Holy cow.
Oh, hell yeah.
Go there, enter the promo code 2NoobsTalking, TOONOOPS, Talking. Get 10% off your order. Listen, caffeine is a drug, people, and you are addicted.
Yes.
Look, no, it's not. No, kidding.
Fortunately, W offers caffeine-free watermelonada hydrohydration, the watermelon lemonade blend with plenty of electrolytes you can drink any time of day.
There you go.
You enter our promo code, you get $350 off a $35 tub. So go suck that egg.
Bam. Yeah.
And bleep Logan Paul. There you go. End prime.
Is that our W fun fact? What's going on?
No, I just felt the need.
All right, then make with the fact.
Okay, Mr. Arnold, that we will talk about a lot later. Little fun fact about him. Before he was 22 years old, he was a millionaire. From his business dealings of real estate and his bodybuilding equipment, which I had no idea. Like, he
That's
had
wild.
Bodybuilding equipment.
I realized he was in real estate, for God's sake.
Yeah, he was in real estate. But he made millions of dollars before he was 22.
God bless
him. He moved to the country in 68. So he was here for a while. So he, you know.
Oh, how old was he when he moved over here?
Oh, gosh.
Was it before he was 22?
Yeah. He was.
It was.
Okay, so he was in America.
Yeah, he was in America when he became a millionaire. He was like Americanized.
Acting? Oh, no, he wasn't acting yet.
No, right? No, he was not.
That didn't come until late 70s, I think.
Yeah, he was doing, because he was doing Mr. Olympia and Mr. Europe and Mr. Universe and all those. Like,
yeah.
But I think that was the time frame that where he was making his money, because he was taking money and investing it. Like, it says multitude of business investments. So he had a few.
That's wild.
So that's somebody wild. Raised him properly. Invest your money. Don't buy stupid shit.
Yes. I totally understand. Like, Mr. America or whatever he was, the original one. If that dude, see pictures of him back then, if he's like, buy bodybuilding equipment, I'm buying that bodybuilding equipment. I want to look like that guy.
Take my money.
Exactly. That dude, he looked the part. He totally did. So if he's selling you bodybuilding equipment, I don't think he was lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you buy bodybuilding equipment from skinny guys like us.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
If he's peddling it, though, you're like, wow, holy crap.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Jeez, that's amazing. All right, so I will admit I did not know that fun fact.
Nice.
So you did well this week.
There you go.
Victory.
Nice.
Victory. But as you said, more to come. Topic 4 on Mr. Schwarzenegger. We're going to Oscarize his films, because the real Oscars don't do justice to anybody.
No.
But we'll get there. All right. Matt has an actually prepared over 40 rant this week.
Gosh.
Unlike last week when we had to wing it last second.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me.
Anybody. Not unbeknownst to Matt.
This one's a doozy, gents. I'm sitting back here, gents, and I'm thinking LinkedIn buzzwords. What the hell? This is the bane of my existence, as it is Steve. No lie, gentlemen, I was in a call in my current business, and I'm paraphrasing because this was, what they were talking about here didn't make any sense to me, but it was essentially the words were cobbled together as in optimize go-to-market opportunity algorithm.
What language are you speaking?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, I don't know. Gibberish. I don't know what it is.
I know what an algorithm is. I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah.
But in combination with those other words makes zero sense.
It makes no sense. I was sitting there kind of going, what are we talking about here? Like, I'm just sitting there like, all I'm doing is just pressing why for the invoicing. What does that make any difference to me? Doesn't make any difference to me at all. And then
Well, that's our algorithm forcing you to do your job, but they call it an algorithm instead of forcing you to do your job.
Yeah. Well, what I just heard was Matt could be replaced by one of those ducks that goes up and down.
Totally. Totally. Hopefully Matt is working on that.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I'm trying to do that. And then I saw this Fortune article, which is hilarious. The five buzzwords executives always use on their LinkedIn profiles, which to me is like, I'm avoiding these words. I'm going to make sure, like, I'm going to double check my LinkedIn just to make sure that these words are not in there. Some of these words are ROI.
Go on the list.
ROI is one of them. Innovative. Innovative. As in, a leadership style that inspires transformational business solutions, develops innovative marketing strategies, and energizes teams by creating an inspired culture.
Yikes.
Gag me now, please, for the love of God. Yes. Solution. Able to strategically translate business needs to technology solutions, repeatedly yielding superior results. All of this is just made up, John. All of it.
Yes.
Every single one of it.
Yes, it is.
Strategic is another, and then leader, an inspiring people leader with a very strong background in marketing, technology, management, and sales.
It might just be the humble nature of me, but I don't think you call yourself a leader if
no,
you're actually
you definitely
a leader,
do not. No,
you know,
nope.
That's exactly.
What people like Kim Jong-un do.
Yes, you definitely don't.
Leader.
You
exactly.
definitely
an
don't.
Inspiring people leaders. Yeah. Sounds more like on the evil side of things, you know, that kind of a deal. So,
yes.
This is my advice to people on LinkedIn. If I can't tell what you do from the first three words of your profile,
yeah.
you need to change.
Yeah.
Name.
Yeah. Get out. Yeah. Yeah. I can't stand it. I was just in it's it, and it was like a 90 minute session of nothing but LinkedIn buzzwords. It was like, wow.
Yeah, there's no
idea what we were talking
there's
about.
There's no point for it.
Yeah.
What you do is what you terrible. Do. Just wear it. And just do it. Do it at the best of your ability. And here's the thing. Don't tell people how good you do it. Just do it good. A lot more people will pay attention to you if you just do it good and not tell people that you do it good.
Right? More people would pay attention to you if you explained it good instead of being all secretive and catchwordy.
Yeah.
You, what Matt just read tells me zero about what it is you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd still be like, and what do you do again? And we'd probably have that conversation for about 10 minutes before.
Yikes.
You know, when I do a pitch for me, I get straight to the point. I get patents for people.
Yeah.
That's there you go. That's what you do.
And I sue some people if you're infringing their patents. And if somebody sues you, I'll help you. You know, that's what I do.
And, you know, for me, it's just all I do is why. That's all I do. So there you go.
I play gas stations. That's all I do. I take really good photos. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, my gosh. So funny. So let that be a lesson to you kids out there. Be simplistic.
Very simple.
Yeah. Please be simplistic.
Simple is better.
Yeah.
Simple is better.
Yeah.
It should not take me. It should not take me a code book to figure out what your profession is.
Yes.
Just the end of it.
Yeah.
All right. And the next lesson for the young people is topic one of episode 179. A recent poll, gentlemen, from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE, an actual weird, not weird, a decent acronym, FIRE.
Yeah.
Fire. A First Amendment organization, by the way.
Oh.
The poll found that nearly a third of Americans, including similar numbers of pubs and Dems, say the First Amendment goes, quote, too far in the rights it guarantees. And more than half agreed their local community should not allow a public speech that espouses a belief they find particularly offensive. FIRE chief advisor Sean Stevens said, here at FIRE, we've long observed that many people who say they're concerned about free speech waver when it comes to beliefs that they personally find offensive. But the best way to protect your speech in the future is to defend the right to controversial and offensive speech today. The survey asked respondents to read a dozen controversial statements to pick the one they found the most offensive. The survey then asked respondents whether they'd agree with allowing this opinion to be expressed in different circumstances. Half of the respondents said their community definitely or probably should not permit a public speech expressing the opinion they found most offensive. A whopping 69% said a local college should definitely or probably not allow a professor who holds such an opinion to teach there. Over a quarter of respondents said someone who previously said the offensive opinion should be fired from their job. These results indicate that though the average American is concerned about protecting free speech rights, a significant portion of the population seem poised to welcome censorship. Welcome to Joe Biden's China. I mean, yeah. America.
China.
Matt, since you're going to read the First Amendment, I'll let you do that before we get John's outrageous take on this.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Incidentally, this is, of course, one of 10, known as the Bill of Rights.
We're not reading all 10.
We are not reading all 10. But they were passed primarily because the founders were concerned that the Constitution as originally drafted didn't have enough protection for individual rights. Keep that in the back of your mind as we talk about this. Johnny, I will cede the floor to you. What do you have to say?
Before John goes there, I just want to ask you one question, serious. Mr. Matt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Where in it did it say the government shall have the right to suppress speech when you are butthurt?
Looking...
just over there on the left.
Looking...
off the paper in the trash can.
Maybe in the trash... Hold on one second. Not really finding it anywhere, Steve. So, no, I would say it's not in.
I think President Washington burned that parchment.
Well, yeah, exactly.
When he
was
butthurt.
when he was butthurt. That damn Ben Franklin, let me tell you. Well, yeah, John, you now have the floor, sir.
Yeah.
This is not bad. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. This poll. All 450 people that were polled feel this way. It's just the way it's the way we're going with social media. It's the way we're going. Nobody wants to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it anymore. Nobody wants to deal with it. They don't want to deal with X or Y or Z. They just don't care. They want to live their lives. And the problem is they won't get off of social media to fix the problem, but they want to be on social media and they want the problem to be fixed. They want an algorithm of kitty cats and things that make them happy. We live in a different world. This narcissistic society that we live in now, they want what they want. They want it now, and they do not care about your plight at all.
Yeah.
They don't care. Which is weird, because when you meet people outside of the internet, they care a lot, and they will help, and they will. I don't profess to understand what we're going through, but that is what it is. It's we are so narcissistic in our values anymore that this is the way we think. That screw your opinion, you can't teach me anything.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there, Johnny. I think there's also a get even with them-ism that's out there.
That's a great point.
Yeah, I think it's just something where if someone makes point A that you disagree with, I'm going to get back at you and write point B and show you why point A sucks, you know, and why you suck on top of that. Because how could you possibly speak on point A because you're a bigoted piece of crap? You know, and it just goes on down the line. And all of a sudden, instead of actually refuting the point, you're essentially throwing your opponent under the bus. And you're getting back at them for even espousing such a point like this. You see it
instead
all
of
the
learning.
Time. Yeah. Instead of actually holding, you know, a conversation like you and I are having and like Steve and I have. And that
screw you, man. That. What the hell are you talking about?
Steve, you're wrong.
John, you're canceled. You're off the show.
Awesome. Later.
But yeah, I think that's a huge problem in all of this, gentlemen. Steve, I know you practice law and you debate.
I do.
Obviously. I mean,
what do you think about all of this?
That one third of the people in this poll basically say the government just, they don't, you know, they should do more to limit free speech. Like, what do you think about that as a lawyer?
It horrifies me.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people out there who hold views that I would find abhorrent. But as long as they're not inciting violence or causing violence with their speech, I will defend their right to say and think whatever they want, because that's what we're supposed to be able to do here in the United States, in this country.
Yes. Only this one.
Only this one. There's a reason for the amendment, as Matt said, and it's because the government of Britain did not permit those with opposing viewpoints to speak their minds.
Exactly.
And sometimes in order to affect real change of things that need to be fixed, you need to have opposing viewpoints to discuss.
Yeah.
And like I said, some people may have disgusting things to say, but as long as all they're doing is saying them, words can never hurt me. You can,
yeah.
You know, you are free to think what you want to think.
Yeah. Exactly. We can only go north to Canada, gentlemen. I mean, you're looking at that country, and they're putting, if you say something that is quote unquote hateful, you're thrown in jail. I mean, that's not a free society at that point. And that's Justin Trudeau gone amok, is what that is.
Here's the reason why you can't do that. Who is to decide what is hateful?
That's
bingo.
That's 100%. That's what the right has been trying to say about Joe Biden, but they can't seem to get the words right to explain what you just said. Like, you just can't make stuff up. It's not safe. You can't just say, our president does it all the time where he paints his opponents in a corner and just, They're irrelevant. They're a part of the voting base. They are relevant. You should listen to what they said.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Venezuela is very interesting to me. Dinesh D'Souza's wife is from there, and she's on his podcast a lot, and I enjoy his podcast. She said this is how it started. Where we started to argue free speech just kind of nicely, like we're doing right now. And she said it didn't take very long, maybe a year, maybe a year and a half, to where you would go online and all of a sudden free speech wasn't even there anymore.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest worry to. I'm not surprised by this, but that is my biggest worry. We could go look at what coronavirus taught us.
Yeah.
We can go crazy real fast.
Oh, yeah.
And that's concerning. We are headed down that road. Although we are at a pass in 2024 in the election. I don't know if it's going to help, but.
No. If anything, it'll probably make it worse.
-1 = 1, maybe equals, I don't know.
Maybe.
But that's what I'm saying. You have to, at least there's more elections than just a presidential election coming up, and that's helpful. People are not, people that I could point to, Democrat and Republican in the Congress, that don't like us speaking about it at this, are stepping down because they understand that we don't want to listen to them anymore. So that's it's a good thing. I'm not saying maybe the presidential election probably isn't what I was talking about. I'm probably more talking about your Congress and your senators, because there's a lot of spots to fill and they might be able to help, because if you elect a smart person, he can argue for you and then you don't.
Local communities too, Johnny. I mean,
yes,
I know
very
you
true.
Always advocate for that too.
Yeah.
You know,
if you live in a place where you don't like, I mean, look at who's running the place. You could eliminate them pretty quickly just by getting a couple people together and voting them out.
Absolutely.
Pretty fast with those elections, too. They don't take too long.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also looking at this gentleman from the heart. And when I see a Biden or a Trump act the way they do towards their political opponents, neither one of them are qualified for the office. Neither one.
No, they're fools.
And it's because the way they treat their opponents. Now, there are going to be loons on either side of the aisle, but you're charitable. You basically, okay, I hear what you're coming from. Does that mean that I'm going to be swayed by you? No. It just means that you want to understand where they're coming from and just give it a second or a third thought or something like that. Oh, maybe they have a valid point. Maybe I need to ask some clarifying questions. Who knows? But to be able to just dismiss them and then to get back with them to prove a point is really where we find ourselves, John. And I echo your fear, because it does not take long for someone to be strong enough and strong-willed to basically put their thumb down and say, nope, you're not allowed to talk. We saw that with coronavirus. We saw that with Fauci, for God's sake. We saw that with the Riddler, where he was basically saying, I'm the science. I don't care what you say, I'm the science. But we have this, I'm the science. I don't care what you have to say. That to me was like a telling point right there. It showed that he was never qualified to begin with to handle the pandemic, just because he was not able to bring other things and other observations to the table. If you're in that, or if you're doing something like that, you got to get out. You have to, either by force or you're elected out. I don't know what the situation about Fauci. He should have been fired a long time ago, but
he retired.
I think that the telling quote in this article for me was when the guy said that the best way to protect your speech in the future is to defend the right to controversial and offensive speech today.
Yes.
Because things change over time. And if you have a viewpoint that you think is valid today, 2 years from now, that might be found offensive by whoever's in the majority power.
Yes.
And you don't want them to stamp you out and toss your ass in jail because they don't like what you have to say.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks they're right, but it's the people in power, whoever they think is right, you don't want them to be able to say, well, you disagree with me, so you go to jail. That's Putin. That's China. That's North Korea.
That's Canada.
All the authoritarian countries that exist in the world. There is a reason for the First Amendment, and these people who think it you know, that you shouldn't have the right in certain circumstances to say what you want to say, that's going down a path we don't want to be in. And I think these people need to reflect on the reasons for the First Amendment in the first place. All right. Freedom of the press, however.
Well, you're out.
No,
we're just kidding.
Well, you might have some, Steve, you might have something if we cancel them all. And it's just only us. I think you might be onto something.
Hey.
Wow.
Get your news here, imagine? Nowhere else.
Oh my gosh.
We're wearing red for a reason.
Except we source our news from others, so that wouldn't really work.
Matt, just start writing the articles, Matt, and then
you know me, Johnny. I've got some more algorithm to figure out with go-to-market optimizations and all that kind of stuff.
180 I hear is a squirrel was convicted of theft in Palo Alto County.
Nice.
He stole my wallet, and he's in the gulag now for the rest of his friggin' life. Done. We got it. That'll be next week.
John, what you don't know is I've already decided that Matt will be on assignment next week in Kosovo.
Nice. You see, you got to clear that through our legal department, dude.
Excuse me, sir. How would you feel about living here? Cool. Where can I escape to?
our only modes of transportation is Steve's dick rocket, too, which is terrible.
Oh, is that the Black Sea over there? Okay. or wherever the hell it is. I don't know.
Go direct it. All right, we're probably failing basic geography at the moment. So why don't we move on to topic two?
Please, for God's sakes.
Speaking of geography, we're headed to Ireland now, gentlemen.
Oi.
The Irish Independent reported that Camilla Grabska, 36, filed an $820,000 claim with her insurance company, RSA Insurance, after claiming a 2017 car accident left her with debilitating pain and repeatedly bedridden. All right, that's enough of that.
Yes, that's good, please, though. Save your voice.
Okay, so, yeah, right. So this is a very sad story, gentlemen. She told the Ireland High Court she was left with constant pain in her back, neck, and thoracic spine and was unable to lift groceries, do chores, or play with her two children. She claimed she was unable to work for 5 years, quit her job following the accident, went on disability. $542,000 of her claim were for past and future lost wages. Very, very sad. Wow. However,
poor tree.
However, the court dismissed her case after being presented with a photo from January 2018 of Grabska throwing
poor tree,
throwing a spruce tree. And winning a Christmas tree throwing contest, you know, because that's what normal people do every day.
Mine's coming up next week. I don't.
How's your throwing arm, John? All good, or do you prefer the caber toss method?
You know that Christmas tree. It's gonna be a cross between Brett Favre and Donovan McNabb. It's gonna go right into the ground.
Worm burner, baby.
Oh, man.
The photo was taken while Grabska was going through her hearing. The mother of two claimed even though she looked happy in the photo, she was still suffering from injuries and still experiencing pain.
I'll quit it.
Judge Carmel Stewart said the photo, which had been published in a national newspaper, led her to conclude that Grabska's claims were entirely exaggerated. It is a very large natural Christmas tree, and it is being thrown by her in a very agile movement. I'm afraid I cannot but conclude the claims were entirely exaggerated. On that basis, I propose to dismiss the claim.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
I don't know who to go to first here.
Yes.
I mean, what gets me about this whole story is the Christmas tree tossing competition. That's what gets me.
I know. Like, that was the hook, line, and sinker to sending this.
Okay, now wait a minute. Because people have all kinds of wrongful claims and all that kind of stuff, right? And they're all found out of like, come on, you're a fraud. Yeah. Get out of here. The fact that this woman entered a Christmas tree tossing competition.
She's stronger than the three of us combined. And yeah. She had a disability.
I mean, you know how like a spruce, like any sort of, well, pine trees really stick. I mean, can you imagine like holding a spruce tree and you got to chuck that thing? Like, I wonder how far she chucked it. That's my question. Like, how far did that tree go?
I wouldn't even know how to pick that thing up.
And what are the metals like? Are the metals like, do they get like, you know, the gold medal? Is it like you got like the spruce tree in the front? You know, all the, I mean, I'm just really curious about this.
It just reminded me of the, you know, the rock tossing contest they have in Braveheart when he's got the huge rock. And
yep.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. It's a very strange way for someone to lose their disability claim. I don't know, John. What do you think here?
Yeah, it made me laugh so hard that I had to send it to you guys. Yeah, I. If there is a tree on the ground, I'd be like, look, there's a tree on the ground. Walk past it. Like,
yeah.
I never thought about picking one up and throwing one, especially in a contest.
Yeah.
There's an actual contest for this.
Yeah, I know.
Like, yeah, exactly. There's one tree I remember.
You have to practice.
Oh, you have to.
This is the first tree she threw. Like,
unless you get
failure
drunk.
In this.
Unless you get drunk, though, first, John, then maybe you could go without any practice. You could.
I refuse to hang out with those people. If I were to get drunk with someone and they were like, let's throw a tree, I'd be like, yo, bro, We can't be friends anymore.
Yeah,
people,
seriously.
People can be
trying
stupid
to sit down
when they get drunk. I'm just saying. Right? I mean, you never know what people could do when they get drunk. So I'm just saying, it might be just something for them.
Well, maybe she practices when she walks down the street after Christmas and people put their trees out on the sidewalk to be collected. Maybe she just hurls them. Or maybe she is the person who collects the trees.
Maybe.
There was one person that left the one of the Christmas trees like right next to the parking lot. They just left it there, not thrown out, nothing. And it was like,
go pick it up.
Is someone going to pick it up? Like, what's going on? Maybe we need to call this woman to come over and pick it up for us. Chuck it in the dumpster. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, man alive.
In all seriousness, though, people freaking hilarious. And their false claims just get on my nerves. I get stories all the time, and I'm not going to name names because I don't know the names, but I hear the stories from someone who will remain nameless of people who, you know, this is you're faking an injury. This is the equivalent to somebody jumping on a SEPTA bus that's already crashed, and then, oh, my back.
Yeah.
But it's no different than somebody who collects child welfare payments from the state.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, using it on the child, which is what it's for, you go out and buy a Gucci bag because got to have, you know, five of them.
Yeah.
These leeches on society just. Yeah, exactly. These leeches on society just piss me off.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad this one got caught. I mean, it's incredibly funny the way she was caught, but I'm glad she was caught because we can't have this. This is entirely a horrible thing for society to go through. I mean, I am all for, if you legitimately are disabled, cannot work, I am all for programs that can help you with that.
Big time.
But the number of people who I hear about who milk the system.
Yeah.
And with false claims and the lies, it just pisses me F off because they're using my tax money to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that also should open up people to understand that is the frustration why these government programs have become so hard to do, because they can't just X, Y, and Z. They can't, you're hurt. Oh, my elbow hurts. All right, here's $1 million. Like, they can't do that. So... And that's the other side of the coin, is that people think that the government is too this way because, well, I filed my paperwork. I should get this immediately. No, they you kind of need to be vetted, kind of like the border. Like, you kind of need to be vetted, right? Because this happens. This happens probably more than a good claim goes through.
Sure. Yeah, it sure
does.
Unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, hearing that out of you, Steve, as a lawyer, that's fantastic. I mean, I know it's a different set of law that you practice, but I mean, you know, for a trial lawyer, it's like, oh, this is great. But, you know, when they process the initial claim, I mean, but then now it's like, it's been totally rescinded because it's like evidence came out and it went to the judge. The judge's like, you know what? No. Phony. Fraud. Get out of here. Got to get the money rescinded back. I mean,
she got money and she has to pay it back.
Did she get money or?
That's what I don't know. That's what I didn't see from the article.
She said she lost a claim. Certainly if the money was paid out, I'm sure she probably would have had to pay it out.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming the claim was going through the system. She got caught. There was litigation over it.
Okay, good.
And it sounds like the decision is finally like, okay, you're not getting this money.
We're all in agreement. If you scam it, you need to pay it back.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. With interest.
Okay. Yes.
With interest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Wouldn't it have been funny if they found the photo on Facebook? I'm just saying. Like, I mean, you know, I mean, come on.
Oh, I guarantee it happens.
Yeah, at the
tons.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking last week about the dumbasses who filmed themselves destroying property. I'm sure there's dumbasses out there who do, oh, I'm in a Christmas tree throwing contest. Take my picture. I'm going to post it on Facebook. Like, the judge ain't gonna, you know, or the other side, they're not gonna look at your Facebook feed at all for evidence.
No, why wouldn't you? Employers too, by the way. Just if we're talking to the youth, like, everybody's looking at your Facebook when they're trying to figure you out.
Oh yeah.
And what we have here, we have a very nice website that you can go to. It's twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. There's no Christmas trees there whatsoever, so you won't be tempted to throw anything and blow your fraudulent insurance claim. You can
Where's the pot of gold? I don't know where it is.
Gold! You can go there, watch old videos all the way back to episode 140. Before that, it'll at least take you to the YouTube where you can find older episodes, which we'll talk about later. But if you want to listen to us in the car or on your flight to Ireland where you falsify your insurance claims for disability, you can find various podcasting websites that host our show. And if you don't find one that you like, you can plug in your RSS feed to the podcatcher and use whatever friggin' audio program you like, with Christmas trees or not.
There you go.
And as always, like, share, and subscribe. Leave us your comments. We want to hear about this lady throwing the Christmas trees because she's a wanker. Anything else on the site, gentlemen, or 5-star reviews? Yay, nay.
Oh, nah. Heck yeah.
But yeah, please. But go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, because we keep going 91, 90, 91, 90, 91, 90. Let's get up there. Let's get up
Make
to like
up your bloody mind, people. Yeah, like,
can we get up to at least We're like 200 and do that? Like 199, 200, yeah. I'd be fine with.
We are very harmless. I will say that.
Trust me. We're just trying to have a good time.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of a good time.
Well, not anymore. Top three. Not anymore. No good times for the Phillies fans now. As they announced last week, Hatfield Phillies Franks Dollar Dog Nights are no more.
No! We should take a moment of silence on this.
Moment of silence. Okay. Thank you for your time. On April 2nd and 16th, fans will be able to buy hot dogs, two for the price of one. It's actually one for the price of two, and you get a second one free. But that's another here and there. $5! Dollar Dog Night, apparently, gentlemen, was introduced at Veterans Stadium back in 1997. I did not know that.
That was many moons ago.
Many moons ago. But Phillies fans went and ruined it, because the Phillies say the change is based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. Whereas last year, some rowdy fans turned the beloved tradition into a massive food fight, launching hot dogs into the stand or across the stands.
Oh boy.
We hear from Philly's Senior Vice President of Ticket Operations and Projects, or TOP, John Weber. Sorry, it's good to go Irish. So I'm not going to do that. Last season, the throwing of hot dogs, it just was not an enjoyable experience. And we're working on a few things. Additional staffing, additional hot dog areas to sell the hot dogs, and, you know, additional security as we move forward in 2024. There's going to be lines, but we're trying to admit our best to mitigate them. And hopefully with additional security, additional staffing, it will just be a better experience for our fans. That's our goal. And that's why we're making this slight change. No more dollar dogs. John's blaming the Philly fans. I tend to agree with him. John, I know you have something you want to say here.
Well, also that that quote from the ticket operations and project guy. Yeah, that's totally, we gave you Bryce Harper and Trey Turner, so shut up. It's pretty much what that says. If you read in between a few things, additional staffing, that you do right there, like, oh, you like us? Now we're the Yankees. And you will do as we say. But I mean, the fans didn't do any. Why are you throwing hot dogs? Like, I understand they're a dollar, but why are you throwing hot dogs? Like, what is the point of taking that greasy? I understand not eating it, so don't buy it. But, like, why did you buy it to throw it, Gen Z idiot? I can't stand watching them on TV, watching the game. Like, they're not even paying attention to the game.
No. This is the game.
Why would they?
It is frustrating.
Why would they, John?
My sons are of that generation, and we've gone to a million games, and they love baseball. I don't know who these people are from that generation that are at the games, or that they're idiots. I do not understand why you have to have the phone and the other phone. When Bryce Harper hits a home run, why are you taking a selfie with your friend?
Yeah.
He's running around the bases, dude. Pay attention to what he's doing, because he's the one that hit it 455 feet, not you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dare I say, the people throwing hot dogs are probably the same type of people who would spill milk on individuals they don't know on a boat.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Matt, your take here.
Yeah, I mean, sad to see it go. Obviously, you know, I don't think I've ever been to a Dollar Dog Night. I remember even years back, the Phillies had Phillies Franks. I don't know if you guys remember that in the old supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
Where you would go in and you would buy like eight hot dogs, and inside the packet were tickets to a Phillies game.
Yeah, and awesome. it had the stripe logo.
Yeah, it sure did.
Was it a ballpark? Was it a ballpark, Frank?
I think so.
Either that or ballpark.
It was probably Hatfield.
Hatfield ballpark. Yeah.
Dollar Dog Night.
And it had the jersey stripes on the hot dog.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get a free ticket. Yeah.
Yeah. You get like four of them or whatever, and you know, family would use that. We'd all go down to the ball game together.
And the nosebleeds in that concrete jungle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stadium.
I also walked on that concrete jungle, and believe me, concrete was exactly the right word, because that was no astroturf. That was concrete painted green. But that's neither here nor there. I tend to agree with John. I mean, what are you doing throwing the hot dogs? Like, it's free food. Like, well, it's not free food, but it's like a dollar. So, like, eat it. You know, it's like, if you're going to buy it, eat it.
Yeah.
You know, that's my whole thing.
Like, but don't buy it if you're not going to eat it.
It's somebody. Like, I don't get that. I don't understand it either. I don't know if it's a Gen Z thing. It probably is. They ruined everything. So, I mean, why not? And I'm saying as an old crunk, you know, cranky old Gen Xer over here. I don't get that.
I don't think they ruined that whole generation either, Johnny. I don't think they ruined life. I just think they ruined Phillies baseball. That's my
You know, of course, we've seen like, you know, the videos in the stands of all these cute girls like looking at each other on the cell phone, you know, just texting each other on the cell phone. And they're at a baseball game. That's over in Arizona.
Why are you there?
Like, just sit there and talk to your friends. What are you doing texting back and forth and taking all these photos?
There's plenty to do in that ballpark. I think my biggest pet peeve is the outrage coming from the Philadelphia with, oh, they took it away. Like, there's such, at least last time I was there, and that was probably 5-6 years ago. There's such good food at that ballpark. Why do you care about the Dollar Dog Night? Like, they did a phenomenal job. It rivals Detroit Stadium, which I think has the best food I've ever had at a ballpark. Last time I was at the Phillies game, they were on par.
Yeah. Yeah, which I agree. I mean, Steve?
I'm a foodie.
Yeah, they've got good. I will say I think it was last year, I was at a Dollar Dog Night there.
Okay.
Did you get pelted
no, in the head?
It was not the event where the dogs were thrown, at least that I know of. But the lines are insane for Dollar Dog Night.
I bet it would be.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, they had like little carts like at the bottom of, you know, with the escalators, because they had to sell these things.
Sure.
I'm not too sad to see it go, though, because there's good food at the ballpark. It is expensive.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely expensive. Yeah.
I don't mind buying something that costs a little bit less.
Yep.
But you have to understand the hot dog you get for Dollar Dog Night is not the same hot dog that you're buying for $6 on any other night.
Those
are nice, high quality. They are very, you could tell they're nice and dark.
Yeah.
They've been on the roller. They've been cooked well.
Yeah.
These are your run of the mill, low quality. I don't even know what kind of meat is in them. Hot dogs that are pink.
Boiled.
Even when they're cooked. Probably boiled. The buns are lower quality. You are not getting the same dog that you get on a normal night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would prefer, if I'm going to have a hot dog, and I don't mind having a hot dog every once in a while, I want a pure beef, high quality hot dog.
No doubt.
Like the ones you buy on any other night. The dollar dogs, they are literally just a millimeter above the hot dogs that the Fanatic shoots out of his cannon.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Glenn, my brother, caught one of those once. It took him about 20 minutes to get it out of the duct tape it was wrapped in order to launch it. And by the time you get through that, it is not in a state that is edible. I will say that.
I was just going to say, by the time we got through it, it was probably by the end of the game, right? Have you probably caught in the seventh inning?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, it's sad to hear Dollar Dog Night is going on, but when you really, really think about it, it's like,
Yeah.
I just hope this buy one, get one is the higher quality dog since they're charging you more. But that's yet to be seen.
Yeah.
All right. You may have noticed I've gone black tie now. Well, blue and whatever color this bow tie is.
I'm looking to try and find it. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Right, I can see it, but that Predator's blue is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, oh, man. If I had a blue team, that's the blue that I want. Oh, the logo is top notch.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You can't
miss it. I don't have the mustard colored jersey, so
thank God.
I go with what I got. But I am dressed up because it is Oscar season. The Oscars will drop a couple days after this episode comes out. And as we've done the last couple years, the Oscars do a terrible job. So we have to do their job for them and actually give awards to people and films that deserve it.
Yes.
Okay. So 2 years ago, we did Batman films, all Batman. Last year, we did all Star Wars. This year, doing something a little different. We are going Arnold Schwarzenegger films because he's made a ton of them in his career. We want to recognize some of the best. And that's all I got to say.
So we're getting rid of Batman Forever. We're not doing Batman Forever at all. Just saying.
Yep.
Batman and Robin, you mean?
Batman and Robin. Yeah.
Batman and Robin.
Nope,
well,
he's
see,
not.
That
nope.
was the, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that never didn't happened. Make that nope. didn't make the cut.
Nope.
Could you tell like that to my 1990? When would that movie come out? 1998 self. Like, could you guys not have stopped me from going to that movie anyway?
I assume Steve already did, but you aren't listening. So I'm just saying. At a break in hockey where we were all around the net.
Yeah,
Steve would have given you his opinion.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm kind of sure he said, "Hey guys, I'm going to see Batman and Robin next week," and I'm like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, man?"
Jim, and this sounds
that
about right.
Instead of under your breath, right?
Well, we were nicer back then.
Exactly. We're crotchety old men now. That's just the way things are. So
I know.
All right, anyway. So we've got six categories. We've got five nominees for each category. We will each pick our own winner, and that includes award-winning John Tracy, who told us he won an award.
Thank you.
Between topics. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Even if it is for something as nerdy as on-the-job safety.
Nice. I mean, yeah, you know. Loser.
Oh, funny.
All right, well, our first category, we're going to go a little bit off the beat here. We're going to do best film first because I think this is probably going to be the least dramatic of any discussion we have.
Okay.
We have five films nominated here. On the list we have Terminator, Terminator 2, Terminator 3. No, I'm just kidding. Terminators 1 and 2.
As the logos fly over Steve's head.
Predator, Kindergarten Cop, and True Lies.
Wow.
So let's say eeny, meeny, miny. I'm going to go, Matt, you get first pickings here on best Arnold film.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day, hands down, no debate for me. That is the best Arnold movie I have ever seen, will ever see, and plan to hopefully see again. His heroic death in the movie was the best part. I mean, he was a hero, absolute hero. And it ended the entire arc. I don't want to hear anything about Terminator 3. I don't want to hear anything about Salvation. I don't want to hear anything else about Terminator 4 or whatever else they have planned. It is all a Genisys or whatever that stupid movie was.
Woke
T1, T2, done. But T2, greatest Arnold movie ever. I'm done.
All right, Matt's closed the book. John,
boom.
Your pick for best Arnold film.
Man, I want to go Kindergarten Cop so bad. You're so good in that. I'm going to go Predator.
Yes.
Just because, I mean, the like, yeah, come on. Like, that created so many things. He was such a badass in that movie. That was that was one of my favorite movies of all time. So
yeah,
quite the
his
the
role
cast in that movie.
Yes, his role in that movie stood up to a large cast. Of people.
Not
and
volume.
No,
yeah.
<can't>. This is just stacked. Like they were believable. Five people getting out of a helicopter hunting an alien? Believable. Yep. Believable.
U.S. Marines? Absolutely.
Yeah, believable.
I'm not even sure they say what branch of the military they're from ever.
No, they don't. Because I don't. They might have just been somebody that might not be on the book.
Cops.
And it was... And it was believable. So I'm going with that one because he played amongst badasses. He played a badass and I love
him. Yes, I agree. And that is, I would feel very safe if that is what my military looked like. I would guarantee you that.
Just FYI, this is from Wikipedia. Yeah. So you know, it's already true. Schwarzenegger stars as Dutch Schaefer, the leader of an elite paramilitary rescue team. So that's what they were.
Paramilitary, whatever that means.
Yes.
That's a branch of the military.
Off the books. I'm surprised they gave them names.
Right. There is a story from that movie that Arnold tells where they're getting measured for their costumes or their wardrobe. And Jesse Ventura starts bragging about how his bicep taped out bigger than Schwarzenegger's.
Yeah.
And Arnold's calmly says after Jesse's brag, he says, yeah, I had his tape switched out to something smaller just so he would measure bigger than me.
Of course he did.
Nice. Nice. All right, Mr. Murray, what do you have?
For me, I'm going Terminator 2. I'm with Matt. That is, after 1989 Batman, Terminator 2 is the greatest film ever made. I cannot say enough good things about that movie. It was absolutely, I was blown away the first time I saw it. The special effects, even 30 years later, still stand up, except for one that has Arnold getting his head smashed in. Yeah. But the T-1000 special effects still hold up today, which is amazing given the crap that gets put out by Hollywood sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
So Terminator 2 gets my vote for best Arnie film.
That's so bad. You just can't. This is very easy. Like Terminator 2 was probably one of the best movies ever made. So
who knew you could have a hammer hitting a piece of metal as a musical instrument and make it sound good?
Yeah. you just
I know the soundtrack to that movie. It was so
bad. Oh yeah. Oh wow. Love it.
All right. Let's move on to the next category. Where should we go here?
Anywhere you want.
How about let's go in order. We'll go best villain.
Okay.
From an Arnie movie. And Arnie is excluded from this category.
Yes.
Okay.
This is his Oscars, but I don't think he gets any of these awards, actually.
Yeah.
So best villain. The nominees we have for this category are Robert Patrick playing the T-1000 in Terminator 2. James Earl Jones in the role of Thulsa Doom from Conan the Barbarian.
Wow.
Family Feud's buddy Richard Dawson as the evil Killian from The Running Man.
Wow.
Ronnie Cox playing the role of Cohagen in Total Recall, the man who doesn't want to give you the air. Also, Dick Jones in RoboCop.
Nice.
There you go.
And rounding it out, we've got Sinbad as Myron Larrabee, the evil mailman trying to take that Turbo Man doll away from Arnold in Jingle All the Way.
That's
fantastic
so funny.
Film.
Yeah.
By the way. Yes. That is a hysterical film.
Yeah.
We reference it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You started with me, so it's Johnny.
So we'll go to John first here for best villain. What do you have?
So I will swing around and go to the T2 just because what a great villain. I wanted to say Sinbad, but I really did. Just to be different, you know? Richard Dawson also, by the way, hell of a character. Ronnie Cox also Ronnie Cox also hell of a character. Everybody knows I'm a huge James Earl Jones fan, so anything he does, awesome. But yeah, but T2, Robert Patrick,
there you go.
that was the villain. That was my same as you're looking at the guys getting off of the when he when he, you know, formed his into the cop and started walking. You know what I mean? Like, it's just it was perfect. Perfect villain. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Matt, you agree?
Yeah, I have to comment on Richard Dawson. I think that is absolutely hilarious that he was a villain in a movie. I had no idea. When we were talking about this in pre-production and just thinking about it now, no idea he played villain in an Arnold movie.
Yeah, he's always like, he's always giving a kiss to the young ladies on Family Feud. He's so friendly. And he was a total dick in The Running Man. Oh my God.
Just unbelievable. Wow. Unreal.
Actors will act.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
He's good at it.
Yeah. Exactly. No. It's definitely Robert Patrick in T2. He's just it's a perfect, like, the way they casted him. I remember like watching some of the behind the scenes movies. They were looking for a guy who was not built like Arnold.
Right.
And Robert Patrick is not built like Arnold, obviously, but he came across as such a threat to John Connor throughout the entire movie. You knew. Like, he had to be dealt with. Otherwise, you know, John Connor doesn't live. And it's like, he was a perfect, perfect villain. I can't say enough about him. Love him to death. And he's my vote.
And physically, yes. He was. Even being slight, it came off in the movie that he was the physical equal of Arnie, even without the muscle.
Yes. Oh, it was totally believable.
It was believable.
Yeah. Like, he was fit, and he was like, he was built right in the whole bit, and he could throw down. With him and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
and
totally.
Props to his cameo in Wayne's World 2. No, Wayne's World 1, I think it was.
Oh yeah, that would be Wayne's World.
Yeah,
Wayne's World. That was a fabulous cameo. Loved it.
There was another movie I saw in the movie theater. Throw that out there.
By the way, do you know what his name tag said?
Holy no
his
idea.
Name was Austin.
Okay.
His name was Austin.
Austin.
I find it interesting.
Interesting.
I love Robert Patrick as the T-1000. I thought Richard Dawson was great. Ronnie Cox was fabulous. Sinbad was awesome, especially when he gets out of the cop room by shaking the package and saying it's a bomb, and it actually explodes. He's like, oh, that was really a bomb in there? Oh, man, people in this world are sick. But I have to give best villain to James Earl Jones. Because
very nice.
His acting in Conan the Barbarian just brought that movie to a whole other level. And he was totally believable as the leader of a snake cult.
Yeah.
He did an absolutely outstanding job in that.
That's
film.
Great. Wow.
So I give it to Tulsa Doom, but
shout out to James Earl out there.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's great.
All right, let's move on to, we're going to go best actress, which Arnold obviously can't win. But we have some.
I mean, it's 2024.
We do have five very good nominees here. We have Linda Hamilton in the role of Sarah Connor in both Terminator and Terminator 2.
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis as Helen Tasker in True Lies. Sandahl Bergman as Valeria in Conan the Barbarian. Pamela Reed as Officer Phoebe O'Hara in Kindergarten Cop, and Rachel Takotan as Melina in Total Recall.
Okay. Right,
so, Matt, it is back to you. Pick your best actress, please.
So I'm thinking Linda Hamilton, but, I mean, I'm heavy on T2. So I'm going to go Jamie Lee Curtis on this one for True Lies.
Okay.
I think the way she plays the damsel in distress in that entire movie is really funny. It's like, off the beaten path funny. And is, like, compared to Arnold, who was paired with Linda Hamilton, and Linda Hamilton's a badass, by the way, across in that. But I just love the contrast, because that's coming off of both of those two Terminator movies, and then True Lies comes out, and it's great. It's a great movie to sit down and watch. I'm going to go J.B. Lee on that one.
All right. Yeah. John?
I'm going to go Pamela Reed, just because when we were talking about Kindergarten Cop, she was, other than the kid, she was the other one that popped in my head of, like, talent, you know, across from Arnold. Sure. So I'm definitely going Pamela Reed.
Nice.
Yeah, she was good. That was on a couple weeks ago, or maybe last weekend.
Oh, gosh.
That's such a great movie. And she was very good in
it.
Yeah.
Very good. I will go Linda Hamilton. I think she was fantastic in both Terminators, but especially in Terminator Agreed. 2.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
She really held her own against, you know, Arnold and the T-1000, Robert Patrick. I think she did a great job. And by the way, has anyone done more for women in action films than
I don't
James
think
Cameron,
so.
By the way?
Yeah, yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, we got Linda Hamilton and Jamie Lee Curtis on this list. Both were fantastic in their roles of those films. And he also did Aliens with Sigourney Weaver. So, yeah. Like, you know, James Cameron, awesome director. Except for that one film about a ship that sank.
Dividends.
Whatever that one was called. Other than that, fantastic filmmaker.
And I was Linda just going to say, Rachel Zegler, just take notes, please. You know, I mean, these are badass women that are in every single one of these movies. Yeah. Doesn't revolve around you, sweetheart. Anyway.
Exactly. Linda Hamilton could kick my ass. I mean,
yeah.
she was great.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to go best actor now, and we're excluding Arnold again.
Okay.
Because he's not allowed in this.
He's not allowed. I mean, the whole awards show is built around him, so he can't win one.
Yeah.
So this was tough to go through and find five actors who were outstanding in an Arnold flick.
Yeah.
But I think we've got a pretty strong list here. So we've got Michael Biehn as Kyle Reese in Terminator. Danny DeVito as Vincent Benedict in Twins. We have Carl Weathers as Dylan in Predator. He was from the CIA. He was not part of the paramilitary group. He was explicitly CIA.
CIA. Yep. Okay.
Bill Paxton as Simon the Spy in True Lies. Fantastic role. And then Phil Hartman as the evil neighbor Ted Maltin in Jingle All the Way.
Gosh.
So whose turn is it? This is
it'll be John.
Mine. John's turn.
Yep.
Man, I want to go Danny DeVito so hard, but I gotta go. I gotta go Phil Hartman.
I love it.
Yeah, you're just not.
Phil Hartman was awesome.
Yeah. I want to go Danny DeVito so bad, but Arnold, they were twins. It was back and forth. It was perfect. But if you want to go like outside the box, like the guy you look, Phil Hartman, damn good.
Phil Hartman,
damn good. Evil neighbor. It was awesome.
Trying to steal his wife, man. Damn.
Oh man. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Phil was good.
Phil was good. He fantastic on Saturday Night Live. He did probably the best Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
maybe Dale Hammond, but
I would give it.
But
Phil.
Also great in The Simpsons too. Yeah. Lionel Hutz, attorney at law. Yep. Yeah, he's great. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
All right, Matt. What do you got?
I'm gonna go Carl Weathers. Shout out to him. You know, he was right with Arnie in Predator. The whole way through until he died.
yeah.
But his arm was in the gun even when it was detached from his body. That's
exactly.
How badass he was.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I'm going to go Carl Weathers just because we lost him just obviously recently and everything. And, soft spot in my heart for him. So, yeah, going to go with Carl Weathers on that one.
Totally, totally understandable. He matched up physically with Arnold in that movie. They got that great meme with the two hands. Shaken, even though Arnie finally won the arm wrestling.
There you go.
I was gonna go Carl Weathers, but looking at this list again, Bill Paxton in True Lies, was some of the best comedic work.
Yeah,
I mean, him playing the role of the fake spy and like his whole shtick, and then when he gets caught by Arnold, and pees his pants as they're holding him over the and then again when Jamie Lee catches him at the end of the movie,
nice
playing the trying to do it again, she puts the lipstick up to his chin like a gun and he pees his pants again as the waiter. Like, come on, man. And Bill Paxton was another terrific actor.
Yeah, he sure was.
That's gone too soon, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I will in his memory, I will nominate Bill Paxton as my best actor.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Here's best sidekick.
Wow.
So this is a weird one. I've got five nominees here, all playing sidekicks to Arnold at some point in a movie. I've got Tom Arnold, who played his partner Albert Gibson in True Lies.
Okay.
I've got Kevin Pollak, who I didn't even know was named Bobby Chicago in the movie End of Days.
Wow.
Kevin Pollak obviously playing his wise-ass cop partner.
Yeah.
I don't think they were cops. I think they were like
detectives?
Private. Yeah, they're like private detective
investigator
types.
Yeah.
Arnold himself, but it's because he played a clone in The Sixth Day, which is a movie all about cloning.
Yes. Jeez.
The great Mako, who played Akiro in Conan the Barbarian.
Okay.
And then Miko Hughes. Now you're probably asking yourself, who is Miko Hughes? He played the role of Joseph in Kindergarten Cop.
Okay.
If you don't know who Joseph in Kindergarten Cop is, all you need to know is one line: boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. And you know exactly who I'm talking about.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice. All right, Matt, name your best Arnold sidekick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kevin Pollak with that one. Yeah, because I think he played a terrific... They were really good together as a tandem in that movie. I remember you and I watched that, Steve, in the movie theater. And I was just... He was really good, I thought, just as a perfect sidekick to Arnold. Arnold was the beefy, tough guy kind of coming in. And, you know, Chicago was more of the thinking man's kind of thing. Needed Arnold's protection, that kind of deal, as they were investigating what was really weird. It was really a weird movie,
right,
for sure. But yeah, I'll go with him, Kevin Pollak. Yeah,
right, John,
I'm going Miko because he's my spirit animal.
nice.
I'll just leave it at that.
There you go.
It's your father, a gynecologist, since he's looking at his vaginas all day.
No. Nope.
Oh my gosh.
The kid was ahead of his time. And
I love it.
Kindergarten Cop was a great movie, so that kid that kid deserves love.
A lot of love.
He probably
there.
Still thinks if he thinks anything different, we should beat him up. But just saying.
He's at least gotten a little taller. He was he was tiny.
Tiny.
Although
kid.
I seem to remember reading he was actually younger than all the other ones. So that may have accounted for the height differential. But
yeah.
I'm gonna go with I love Tom Arnold in True Lies. I thought he was funny.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with Mako from Conan the Barbarian.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was outstanding. It both Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer, both films, across both of them, I loved his character. And he was
nice.
He was a tough, hard ass until you got to know him. And then he's like, oh, I'm just joking. You know, I'm a wizard, mind you. But, you know. Very good stuff. I loved his character.
Great stuff.
All right. We come now to the conclusion, the final category, which is best, because you can't have an Arnold movie without this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Best one-liner.
And I'm looking forward to this one.
And it was hard to pick just five. But in pre-production, we think we've come up with a good list. If you disagree or if you have something else you would have picked,
put it down.
Put it down.
Yes.
Out.
Yes.
You're gone. We did not. We intentionally did not do I'll Be Back.
Yes.
Because that's
too
iconic.
Yep.
So it had to be something better or different than that.
Yep.
What we got is, from Predator, we have get to the chopper. From Terminator 2, it's chill out, dickwad. Just because that's, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Kindergarten Cop, we have it's not a tumor. From Total Recall, right after he shoots Sharon Stone in the head, considered that a divorce. And then as he tells Phil Hartman in Jingle All the Way, who told you could eat my cookies? Put that cookie down now.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, John, you have the floor. Pick your best Arnold one-liner.
It's not a tumor. He's arguing with a bunch of kids, and that showed Arnie's range.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
We also would have accepted Stop It from that movie. Or,
exactly.
One of my favorites from that movie is when he goes after the woman who's the witness.
Yeah.
He crashes a party there, and he sits down, and they ask him, "Who are you?" "I'm the party pooper."
That could have totally made it.
Oh my god!
I mean, you could have had nominees just from that movie alone.
Yeah.
But Matt, I will go to you now. What is your best Arnie one-liner?
Well, you definitely popped me when you put out the Total Recall. Consider that a divorce. After a shoot, Sharon Stone had. Consider that a divorce. I mean, that got me. So yeah, that's my win. That's my win. It's not if he kills her, but it's like, consider a divorce. It's like, really? You know, it's like, wow. So yeah, that popped me good.
All right. All right.
Yep. All right. What do you think there?
I love Chill Out Dick Wad because he delivers it so matter-of-factly in that robot tone. Yep. And he's telling it to a 10-year-old. Who told you could eat my cookies?
It's iconic.
Yeah. To have a man of Arnold's stature say that is just so great. Consider that a divorce was a comical line to deliver at the time.
Yeah.
It's not a tumor is, you know, one of the great all-time repeated ones.
Yeah.
But I have to go with the one from Predator, which is also one of my favorite Austrian Death Machine songs of all time.
Yes.
And just because it embodies everything about Arnold.
Yeah.
Get to the chopper! Gotta pick that one.
Gotta pick that one.
That's why I gotta go with that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up our Arnold Oscar Awards. If you disagree with anything, screw you. You're canceled. But, you know, we'd love to hear from you if you had something we might have missed.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a lot out there. So, yeah, drop us a line. Tell us if we missed something. We'll reconsider it.
Yeah.
You know, we are not the Gen Zers. We don't go. We will hear your argument and then tell you while you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
And if you thought that was good, you got to stay tuned for next week. Topic 4, John has some questions for me and Matt, and he wants to have them answered immediately. You're going to want to stick around for that. Anything final to say, gentlemen, before we get the heck out of here, wrap this episode up?
A lot of fun be with you guys, but yeah, looking forward already to next week. 180. That's crazy. 180?
Tell me about it.
Gee whiz.
And boys have penises and girls have vaginas. To work clear.
That's an important memo to send out there right now.
You've got to teach the basics.
Just to be clear.
So until next week, get out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two Noobs Talking. For more Two Noobs, be sure to check out our website, twonoobstalking.wordpress.com, and we'll see you next week.